Reformed Church.
You know, recently I mentioned, on Wednesday, I mentioned the verse from Matthew 6 where he says, is not your life more than food and your body more than raiment or more than clothing? And his point there is he's trying to communicate that all these things will be added to you. God has given us power to wealth, and if we seek first his kingdom, and that's important, right? That means that you're prioritizing, you're seeking on his kingdom, prioritizing the gospel, and when you do that, all these things will be added to you. But he does say, isn't your life more, though, than just the food that you consume and the clothing that you put on your back? In other words, the Lord will clothe you well, he'll feed you well, he wants to take care of you, and that's been, you know, of course, taught here repeatedly, but it is also true, though, that our life is more than the things that we consume. The Bible says that he's given seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And that's not specifically talking about finances. It applies to finance as well, according to 2 Corinthians 9. But if you read Isaiah 55, which is the original quote of that, he's actually just talking about all the grace of God. And he said that Jesus, when he came, the word that went forth out of the Father's mouth, that when he came, that he would furnish to us seed to the sower and bread to the eater, meaning he would give us enough grace to be able to give and to consume ourselves. And so God is not only giving to you so that you can give to somebody else, but he is giving to you in part so that you can give to other people. That is part of why God has given you this grace. He's given you an abundance of everything so that you can consume for what you need and also to give to other people. But it's important to know, especially when you apply that to finance, that God has given you grace to be able to give. God has put it in your nature to be able to give and to be able to serve and to minister to other people. And that is part of the reason why God has given you everything that he has given you. There is a mentality that we should have when it comes to the Lord. And we are the receivers when it comes to us and the Lord. We talk frequently about how we don't need to give anything to God as though he needed anything. He's not served with human hands, you know. And, you know, we can do nothing apart from him, everything that we have, you know, what if you have that we have not received, and all these scriptures where it just paints us as the receiver, right? And that's great news. That is absolutely true. But that does not carry over in our relationship with other people. We should not be seeking to be the receivers when it comes to other people. When it comes to God, we are the receivers and we're just the recipients, and we couldn't do anything for him, but Jesus came, and what we couldn't do, he did for us, and that's all awesome news. But when it comes to other people, that is not the mentality that we should have. When it comes to other people, we should be seeking to be the giver all the time. We should be seeking with other people to see what we can do for them, how we can serve them. So the concept of being a receiver is good if you're talking about your relationship with God, but it's not good if you perceive that that should be your relationship with other people. Now, it doesn't mean that you never receive something from other people, but it means that you're seeking in your mind when it comes to other people should be, how can I serve this other person, not what can I get from that other person? And unfortunately today, people not only feel that that's an okay mentality to have, it's just like receiving from other people, but people even feel entitled that people owe them. And that's what even like with welfare and things like that, which there's nothing wrong with welfare in its proper place. I think it's a lot more rare than as far as when it's appropriate, it's a lot more rare than it's made out to be today. I heard some kind of stat that we're like getting close to 50% of people get some kind of assistance from the government. And again, I'm not saying that that's never appropriate, but a lot of people treat even that they're like owed that, like that's something that they're owed just because they live in America, and that's not the case. And that's basically having a receiver mentality when it comes to other people. That should not be the case. When it comes to the Lord, we are the receivers and only the receivers. When it comes to other people, because the Bible said that we have freely received, we can freely give to other people. Now, let me actually show you just a scripture for this in Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 25. And while they're getting that up, The thing that we have to know also, it's not that when it comes to God, we don't do any work for God or give something to God, but when it comes to other people, we should be working and doing these things ourselves toward other people. That's not what I'm saying. But you take the things that God has given you, and those things work out of you toward other people. So I'm not saying that it's not the Lord that should be doing it through you, and I'm not saying it's not the grace of God that should be serving through you, but it's just important to have that mentality, because otherwise we find ourselves in a position where, rather than ask ourselves, what can I do for somebody else, we ask ourselves, well, what can they do for me, or what can the government do for me, or what can, like, we're looking for something from somebody else if we just have this receiver mentality as a whole. It's Matthew 20, 25. I just want to read to you real quick. So this will put things in context here. Matthew 20, 25. It says, but Jesus called unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, or the rulers of the Gentiles, exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. Basically, what he's saying here, I don't have time to say too much about this, but what he's saying is that amongst the world, when people are in authority, they use that authority to get what they want and do what they want. That's why people have authority in this world. At least that's the worldly mentality about it. That when you have authority, you use that to do things the way you want to do them, and that's the way that people perceive authority. That's why people want to be in authority many times, is because they're kind of tired of doing something someone else's way. And if that's ever you, and you kind of in submitting to somebody else, that you just say, you know, I'm tired of doing it their way, I want to do things my way, therefore you want a position, that's the wrong reason to want authority. This is what it's saying here, that those that are rulers over the Gentiles, people in this world, they exercise dominion over them. It says, but in verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever is will be great among you, let him be your minister, or let him be your servant. So even the reason why God gives us authority, we talked about that recently also, that God wants to give us authority in this world. But the reason why God gives you authority in any way, shape, or form as a believer, if God gives you authority in a household, if he gives you position within the church, if he gives you position at work, you should perceive that because God has given it to us to be the receiver from him, but to be the giver, to be the servant to other people with all the things that we freely received from him, that's true of everybody. But when God gives you more authority and more power, it should just be more opportunity to serve more. Where before, every Christian is in the position where it's in our nature now, it's in our DNA, so to speak, spiritually, to serve and give to other people, because we're so blessed, we have something to give. Every Christian has something to offer. Every Christian has something to give to other people. You can just, I mean, the needs of this world, you have the solution on the inside of you. And it is God's plan for your life to work this through you, that you serve other people. Now, we may not have every opportunity to serve every single person in this world, and so God will increase your authority so he can increase your influence. But he's only increasing your authority and your influence so you can serve more. You can have more opportunity to serve people. And so when you have authority, it's what do the people under me need, and you serve them with what they need. Now, that doesn't mean just doing whatever people want, even like with your children. That doesn't mean you just do whatever your kid wants, because you know what they need. Even if it's not what they necessarily want to do at the time, if you know what is actually really going to benefit them, you're serving your children. You're serving the people under you. You're serving people at work. That should be your mentality. How can I serve them better, Lord? Show me what I can do to minister to them, to encourage them, rather than just coming to church and saying, you know, who can encourage me? That should not be the mentality of who can encourage me. Who can give me a word? It should be come to church and say, who can I encourage in the Lord? I have something to give. I have freely received, therefore I can freely give. I gotta rush through this last verse here. But it says that if you, even when God makes you quote unquote great or gives you more position, it says it should be so that you can be the minister, so you can serve people. In verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. In verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just in closing, right here, I'll just wrap this up. And it's what he's saying is, when he says that you should seek, even when you're given authority, to be the minister, to be the giver, to be the one that is generous, to be the one that is encouraging somebody else, that's talking about between you and other people. But it said that the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister. You see, that's what he's saying. His relationship with us is that he did not come to be ministered unto. Now, that's just beautiful, right? That people are trying to do something for God, and he's saying, no, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I didn't come so that you could serve me. I came to serve you. And that is true of our relationship between Jesus and us. So he talks about two different relationships there, Christ and us, and then us and other people. And he's saying you should serve other people. And between us and Jesus, we are the receivers. We have need, as John said, we have need to be baptized by him. We have need from him. You know, he's not coming to be ministered to by us. But I will say this, those things are tied together. What you receive from Jesus, as you receive more from Jesus, that makes you a better minister to other people. As you receive of what's on the inside of you, that comes up and manifests through you, and it will meet your needs. But remember, it's also seed to the sower. It will also cause you to be a giver. There is no such thing as a person that's working in the power of the Holy Spirit that is not a servant, that is not a giver, that is not generous. There's not such a thing. It is actually a proof in your works that you know God, that you love other people, that you serve other people, and that you are generous with other people. Without that, while you are looking to be the receiver, it reveals the immaturity there. But it's as we get to know Jesus and receive from him of all the things that are on the inside of us, that's what causes us to serve other people. And that's why the Bible says, let us have grace. In Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12. I could be wrong in the chapter, but let us have grace. Pretty sure it's 12. And that is talking about between us and the Lord. Let us have grace. So between us and the Lord, it's let us have. And it says, by which we may serve God. And when it says serve God, it's talking about serving other people on God's behalf. That we may serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So you see, our receiving from the Lord, when we perceive our relationship with Jesus as not to minister to him, but for that he came to minister to us, the more you recognize that, that is not going to make you selfish when it comes to other people. It's going to make you a giver to other people. And that's why he said, if it's true that the grace that we receive from the Lord causes us to serve, then that's why I tell you that there is no such thing as someone that's working in the power of the Holy Spirit that is not seeking with other people to serve them, to see how can I encourage somebody else. And, you know, I will say this last thing. I'm going to stop with this last statement here. And that is, you do not become a servant to other people merely by, people would just say, oh, get your focus off yourself and just, you know, just think about other people. Your meditation on other people is not what makes you a servant to other people. If that were true, then we wouldn't even need Jesus to serve other people. We could just meditate on other people. It's your faith in Jesus, your knowledge of him, and therefore you're receiving from him, your focus on Jesus and how he ministered to you, that is what makes you a servant to other people. Again, let us have by which, in other words, because our focus is on the Lord and receiving from him, that is by which, by the grace we're receiving from him, makes you a servant to other people. So it's not about get your focus and meditation on just, oh, I need to do more for somebody else. You need to know that that should be your relationship with other people, but you need to know that that is fulfilled by your focus on Jesus and your focus on what he's done for you. And the very nature of Jesus that did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, that nature is in you. And you will find that as you get to know the Lord, you will no longer be content being just, who can give me a handout? Who can do something for me? Who can encourage me in the Lord? I'm not saying you never receive from people. I'm just saying, though, that that won't be the mentality. The mentality will be, according to the nature of Jesus, the divine nature inside of you, it will be, I didn't come to church. I didn't come to this get-together. I did not come to, you know, be amongst my friends to see, to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that it's a shift from maybe the way that we think sometimes, but that is the way that it is. So get your focus on the Lord and see what he's done for you. And again, that will make you generous. You will be generous and you won't even see your money. You'll see that, you know what, there are things that I consume, things that I need, and that's true, but my life is more than just consuming money on myself. There are big things that God wants to do through me to affect the lives of other people for the glory of God, for the gospel's sake. And that is a priority in my life. And you start seeing that seed to the sower aspect of what God's given you, and you'll realize, you know, my life is more than just the things that I receive, even when it comes to money, or for that matter, any other area.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.